today. But God, asking you now in the name of Jesus just to stretch forth your hand, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking would see your Son Jesus, that he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. Confirm your word today with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor for everything that's accomplished. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the subject, the cross, the place of worship. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get this thing, I think it's hooked to my tie now. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll turn it that way a little bit there. Save us on. Some years back, Sister Teresa made a statement. She talked about the difference between Sunday and Monday, okay? How many of you know that it's one thing to come in the house and feel the Spirit of the Lord and feel a change come in you, but it's another thing come Monday morning to hang on to it? Can you say amen? And so I began to realize that some years ago we were out in California, Gloria and I were, and we were riding down the street, and I pulled up in behind a car, and the car had a bumper sticker on it and said, "If you love Jesus, honk your horn." Any of y'all ever seen them? What's the first thing you did? Honk your horn. Can you say amen? And so I sat down on that horn on that big Ford, and I let her rip. Amen. And I was feeling pretty proud of myself, you know. Out of all these heathens out here, there's one saint come from Alabama to blow his horn. Can you say amen? And so I'm pretty, aren't you proud of yourself when you've obeyed God? Can't you lay on the bed at night and say, "I obeyed you, Lord, therefore I have peace," amen? And so I was feeling pretty proud of myself. And so we went right on down about two blocks, and I got behind another car. Brother Scotty, I looked down, and there was a bumper sticker on that car. It said, "If you love Jesus, pay your tithes, idiot thing, and honk a horn." Then he said, amen. And all of a sudden, my bubble busted. I'm scared to death to get a bubble. Every time I get one, God busts it. Can you say amen? And I began to realize that, and I understood, the horn made the noise. Yep, okay. But and the button was the go-between. It got the pressure, and it was a battery that supplied the power, that all I had to do is go, beep, woo, I obeyed God, I obeyed God. Can you say praise the Lord, somebody? Amen. Now, how many of you know anybody can walk into the house of God and lift their hands and praise the Lord? Amen. They can come once a year, once a month, or however, and by the Lord. And I guarantee you they'll touch it, a change will come in them. You'll feel that change when he touches you. But how many of you know you got to walk out of here and face that cruel world out there, hello, for the next few years, and then all of a sudden, that's one thing to get the change, it's another thing to keep the change. Okay? So the problem is that a couple of things. Number one, a constant exposure to the house of God will establish a change in your life. Amen. It'll help you keep that change. Okay. It'll help you hang on to it. A constant exposure to the Spirit of God will cause you to change. Amen. Also, the Word of God will change, and the house of God, because of the saints of God, are there to encourage you and help you. So you can't exactly expect to come to the house of God once every 6 months and be instantly poofed. I've lost some of y'all already, so stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. Well, brother, it happened to me. I went down on my knees and I got saved. Hallelujah. And I've been saved ever since. And oh, yes, and the only time we see you is Easter and Christmas. Hello? Amen. It's not the fact that you've been changed. I hear so many people tell me in revival, "I got back where I used to be with God." That's not the question. Hello. I admit, like Sister Teresa said, I'm not where I want to be in God, but I'm not where I'm going to be in God either. Can you say amen? because the change, as Scotty said a while ago, is coming in the name of Jesus. So I begin to realize something, what it really constitutes complete change in the in our lives, okay? Now, all of a sudden, you look down here, and Jesus has talked to a young lady, and he has given her living waters, not in the sense that you and I necessarily know it now, but he has ministered to her from a messianic era of time and touched her life, and immediately she comes to him and wants to know, where should I go to church? Where should I? She recognized something within her that unless something she stayed with it, the change wasn't going to be complete, okay? And so he immediately, she asked him, should I go down here where my forefathers go? Should I go up here at Jerusalem where you Jews say go? And he answered her in verse 20, and this is what he said, okay? He said, she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. He answered her, and he said in verse 22, you worship, you know not what. What we worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What he is saying there is that there are two kinds of worship to God. There's a kind that you don't know what you're going to get out of the deal, and there's the kind to where it'll bring salvation to you. The word salvation here is not inclusive of the soul, even though it includes the soul, but it includes a complete lifestyle. Can you say amen? So what God is saying to us is that there is a worship that we can worship God that will bring a complete revelation, a complete change to our lifestyle for the rest of our lives. Can you say amen? It won't just be a Sunday a month. It won't just be Easter and Christmas and me go out and say I got touched. But it'll be something that's with me each and every day of my life for the rest of my life. And all I've got to do is take and know what I'm doing in the kingdom. So where is the place of worship? Amen. We come in this morning. I felt the worship spirit of praise. I praise God. Amen. I lifted my hand and I worshiped and thanked God for it. I felt the Spirit of God touch me during that time. But at the same time, I'm going to leave here and tomorrow's a different day. Tuesday's a different day. Thursday is a different way. And brother, life piles in on you sometimes. But he said here there is a way to worship God in the truth and in the spirit that will bring salvation to you in any situation you get into in your life in the name of Jesus. Brother, he said it's not hit and miss and having somebody pray for you every 30 minutes, but it's reaching up and touching God in a lifestyle that is true worship unto God. So what is true worship to God? Now we're going to separate praise from worship, can you say? Praise is the adoration of the heart and verbal expression, amen? Worship is something that is the heart control as a result of daily working and in the presence of God Almighty. Look in verse 20. She asked the question. She said, in this mountain where my fathers forewarned was or down here at Jerusalem where you say. Immediately she's wanting to go to church. Immediately she recognizes she's been changed. Aren't you thankful for the change that God put in your life and the hunger that's there now for more of Him in the name of Jesus? Now as you look on, it said, where should I worship? What she is talking about, you remember when the walls were down and Nehemiah and the others, Barak and them came into the situation and they rebuilt the walls, the temple walls were down at that time. At that time, Tobiah and Sanballat were priests and the priesthood had been contaminated and a new mode of worship had been brought in into the temple of God because they shouldn't be there. Nehemiah comes in, rebuilds the walls, and he takes Sanballat and he takes Tobiah and throws them out. The word Tobiah in the Greek, it means God, Jehovah is good. That's a good thing to base a church on. Don't you think so, church? Amen. I've heard it several times this morning already. God is good. Amen. I agree with it 100%. The word Sanballat here in the Hebrew, it means sin giveth life. So you've got a double standard in the church here that is trying to bring people to salvation. A double standard will not bring salvation to your life. It must be the way God says do it in the name of Jesus. Too many look for deliverance for somebody to lay hands on them. Can't they? Yeah, that'll work. But if you don't know what you're doing, you'll go right back into it if you're not careful. That's the reason you need to be in Sunday school this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all breathe. Because that was a good lesson, Teresa. Amen. I told her she gets better every time I hear her. Amen. Now, God's anointing on her. Now, he looks around and he tells her, says, if you go over there, you don't know what you worship. But if you come over here, it'll bring salvation to you. So what do you want? Do you want something to make it? Now, why did he save them that? Why did he say that? You remember when Joshua and them came into the land and they took and there was two mountains. There was Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And one of them he put a group of men upon Mount Gerizim. And when people would pass by, they would cry out, blessed shall you be when you go in and come out. Blessed shall your sheep be. Blessed shall your family be. Blessed shall the fruit of your labors be. And on the other one, he's got another group of people. And the blessing was contingent on obeying God, as long as you follow God. On the other one was one that said, cursed shall your sheep be. Cursed shall your cattle be. Cursed shall your family, unless you follow God. Can you say amen? Now, when Nehemiah throws Sanballat and Tobiah out of the church, how many of you know what happens when a pastor gets thrown out of a church? Or a preacher, I'll word it that way. They go build them another church. How do you think we got so many? Amen. Believe in so many different things, okay? So Sanballat and them, they are getting the tithe, and they're using the tithe. They go and build them a church on one of these mountains. Guess which one they built it on? They built it on the mountain of blessing. You don't build a church on cursing. Can you say amen? You build it on blessing. Amen. The problem was it's contaminated because they're teaching that sin brings life. Go ahead and live the way you want to. It'll be all right. It'll bring life to you. Go ahead and do what you want to. Treat God any way you want to. It'll bring life. Jesus said, y'all got to the point that you don't know what you believe anymore or what you worship. He said, if you come over here at Jerusalem where we are, then we worship God will salvate and bring salvation to you in every situation. What was the particular worship? Let's look. We understand that worship has many faces, hands up, smiles on faces, verbal expressions. Some folks run, some shout, some lay on the floor, some cry, some weep. And if you want to get in trouble with God, you start criticizing the way somebody worships God. Because I guarantee you he'll nail you high to the wall. Hallelujah. So what is the problem here? Okay. As a result of it, in Psalms 81, David has brought the Ark of the Covenant home. Meanwhile, his wife is up in an upper room, and David is dancing before the Lord and worshiping God, and she criticizes him, okay? The Bible said that God shut up her womb, and she bare David no son. God will shut your spirit up quick when you start criticizing the way somebody worships him. Can you say amen? All I can tell you is that the way they worship is not necessarily my way of worshiping. Hello? But eternity will tell us the difference. Can you say amen? Now, as a result of it, He said, the Ark of the Covenant brought home, and thou that dwellest between the cherubims, he said in Psalms 80, spring and bring forth, amen. When you worship God, it brings the presence of God, the praise of God, as we found out a while ago, brought the presence of God. I felt him. How many of y'all felt him in here when the hands was up in the air? We were expressing the adoration of our heart, but now we'll walk out of here and enter into true worship of God. True worship is Monday through Friday or whatever, every day of your life. Okay? So what happened here? There's a way to worship God, first of all, with a willing spirit. Thank God we didn't have to drag people and say, lift your hand and praise the Lord. I like folks that willingly do it, don't you? Amen? You look around and he goes on, and I lifting hands free of wrath. And doubting in the name of Jesus. And brother, as a result of it, with a reconciled heart unto God. Pray through before you get here and the preacher won't have to preach to you. Hello? I'm going to get where I'm going here in a minute, so you just hang on. Now, as a result of this, what does true worship? As you look in Chronicles 21, verse 14, you find David had made a mistake. He had come and he had numbered Israel against God's will and against God's word. And immediately the death angel starts walking through Israel. And in verse 14, 70,000 men had been destroyed by the death angel. David is a shepherd. His heart is with the sheep. His heart is in the sheep. And his sheep are dying all around him because of what he done. So immediately he is interested in how to correct it. When you do something wrong, correct it. Don't wait for the preacher to have to pray for you or talk to you. Fix it with God. Amen. So what does David do? He walks to the palace window and he looks out and the death angel is standing still. Amen. So David immediately looks around and said, I am going to sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop this in its tracks. Amen. So immediately he goes out to take, and where the angel is standing still is at the threshing floor of Onan. Okay. Now, Onan has got his wheat. He's got the threshing floor. David comes up to him and tells him what I'm going to sacrifice something. I'm going to sacrifice to God. Onan looks at him and said, I will give you everything here. Just take it and bless God with it. David said, no, I will not do that. I will not sacrifice unto God anything that does not cost me something. Brother, true sacrifice, true worship is going to cost you something. Amen? So get used to the idea and leave off this old me stuff, and I'm the only one. Hello? Now, as a result of it, look what happens here. In verse 24, through 28, 14 through 28, he's at the threshing floor. In verse 24, he's got the sacrifice. Then in 26, it says David has built an altar unto the Lord. It's got to be built the right way. Can you say amen? It can't just be built any old way. It's got to be built the right way. Okay? Now, as a result of it, you got to prepare the sacrifice. Psalm 34 and 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Thank God, God is able to deliver us in the name of Jesus because of the condition of our heart and make an altar unto him. Now, all of a sudden, you look up and you realize something. Where are they at? The angel is standing there. God answered the sacrifice by fire. And David backs up and says, my. Everything is all right now. God receive my sacrifice. Isn't it wonderful to walk out of church knowing that you've obeyed God? And that he has received your sacrifice. Don't get your hopes up a whole lot. Don't get your life going. As you look back, Jesus made a statement, okay? Matthew 10 and 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." When you look at the geography of the situation, that angel was standing at the place that we now call Calvary, the very mountain, the very spot called Calvary. Brother, let me tell you something. God stopped his angel not because of David's sacrifice, but because he looked down through the eons of time and saw a Savior hanging on a wall and cried, "Mercy, mercy unto you." Thank God today that we are delivered because of the power of the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus in the name of God. Amen. Amen. It's not what you sacrifice, it's who sacrificed for you. And if you believe and accept that, his life, okay? Now, it says here, that is not worthy of me. Now, Sister Teresa, as I said, did a wonderful job. And I hope you've gotten something out of my part of it thus far. But I want to ask you something. She told us how to get free. A continuity with the Word of God. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free of that. Yep. I guarantee you, amen. But how many of you know that happened to sort of change with my will from one day to the next? Huh? One day you on, one day you off. Now she told us to be constant with it. That's wonderful, amen. But it's a tremendous battle sometimes. But now Jesus makes a statement here because about the cross. He says, "And then he taketh up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me if he does not take up his cross and follow me." Now this is at Jerusalem, okay? And this is where salvation comes from. This word "worthy" in the Hebrew, it means to correspond to. So when you correspond to Brad and Leslie walked in a while ago, and I immediately reached out. When I looked up, I could correspond to him completely. Scotty, Brother Scotty, did the same thing in relation to him. Didn't nobody have to tell him, well, he's got on a shirt and a pretty shirt and that sort of thing. I could correspond to him, okay? Ladies, when I say Betty Crocker, what do y'all correspond to? Who?
Cake.
Okay. See, you didn't put in a flavor at all, just cake. It don't matter what kind, cake, okay? If I say Mr. Goodwrench, what do you fellas relate to? Or if I say Chevrolet or Ford? Can you say an automobile? In other words, Jesus says here that if you don't take up your cross and to follow him, you can't correspond to what he's doing when he does it. Hello? Because you don't relate that way. Brother Brad and I have had many relationships and activities in the past, and immediately I have no trouble knowing who he is, what he believes, and where he stands, him and Leslie. Can you say amen? And because of it, I don't have to sit down and say, "Are you still living right, brother? Is everything still going all right? Leslie, how's he doing?" Okay? I don't have to do that. Why? Because I could pour upon completely to him and know exactly where he's at and what he's doing. The word correspond is interesting because it means, number one, to be in harmony, number two, to be in conformity, and number three, to be in agreement. Okay? Now, immediately when I'm glad you was here, I got a sermon. He walked in and immediately it brought back a whole lot of good feelings him and her did, of past experiences. Warmth. How many of y'all know what friendship is? Okay. And immediately I could take and I could be in harmony with him. We are a triune being. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God is triune. We are triune. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are spirit, body, and soul. In order to be a complete Christian, all parts of you have got to be in relationship corresponding to the Godhead. In other words, without Jesus in your life, your soul is lost. Okay? Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost into your life, or without the Holy Ghost, I'll word it that way, you cannot be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ because you can't discern and know what it is. Okay? So you've got to have a relationship with the Son. You've got to have a relationship with the Father, I mean with the Spirit. Therefore, what the Spirit does is conform your spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay? But at the same time, Pentecost stops there. They don't go forward to the Father. What is the Father's nature? For God so gave what? Love that he what? Gave. It's the nature of God to give. So now your flesh has got to have a relationship with the fatherhood of the Spirit, or you're going to have somebody, their soul might be right, their spirit might be good, but they've got a flesh out here running to the river every Sunday instead of church. Hello? Now the Bible indicates here that that the flesh is enmity against God and is not controllable as such, that it does not like the things of God, does not recognize them, and we've just been taught that this morning, okay? But you got to remember something. I was raised in the era of time of the old hickory stick. How many of y'all remember those days? Okay? And I found out something right quick. I could be playing, I could be doing something, and Daddy'd say, Ronald, go do this, that, or the other, okay? I didn't want to do it, so I'd drag. I'd wait. I'd put it off. And after a while, Daddy would reach around and get a hickory stick. And immediately, my flesh adjusted itself and went and did what Daddy wanted done. Flesh can be brought into agreement with God. Hello? Too many people this morning are laying in beds, buddying and flavoring the flesh, when they got to get up and bring it into agreement. How do I do that? Paul said, mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live. The word mortify, you can't kill yourself. You can relate, but God has to do it in the name of Jesus. How does God do it? Take up your cross and follow him. What was it Colossians said? That the preaching of the cross brings victory, amen, and that it will destroy your relationship with the world. If I want to be set free, then all I got to do is take up my cross and follow him, and it will cause and make me unfeeling towards the things of the world that's pulling me back in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I've got victory. Now I don't have to keep confessing it. I can go to something else in God, a greater move of God, a better move of God ahead than behind. Amen. Now what do you say? Take up your cross. I asked the Lord, I said, take up my cross. I didn't know you could lay it down. But at nighttime when I'm asleep, guess what? I'm not fighting. I could care less what the world is doing or anything else. I'm pretty well happy. But the minute my feet come off of the floor in the daytime, there's old Slewfoot. And immediately I'm in warfare. So I've got to take up my cross daily and follow him. This word cross here is interesting in John 10 and 38. It means I fasten to a cross. In other words, they never nailed him to the cross. Rome never put him on the cross. You and I didn't put him on the cross. The Father put him on the cross. Hello? Because he loved you and I so much that Jesus bore the cross. So when they look out, I see people, well, I didn't feel like this morning, but I just took up my cross, denied myself, and come to church anyhow. Okay? As a result of it, I'm interested. You can lay that cross down. You can lay yourself on it. You can take a nail and hammer and drive a spike through your legs, through your feet. You can nail it through this hand, but I want to see you nail it in this one. What we do, we nail ourselves two to that, and then we grab the other one and hold on. And I guarantee you, your arm's going to fall off and you're going to come up short. But when God puts you there, when you say, Lord, here I am, I take up my cross, I want to be better. better tomorrow than I was today. I want to go forth in the new. I want to worship you in truth and in spirit. I want my spirit to be in harmony. I want my soul to be in agreement. And I want my flesh to be in agreement and my soul and spirit to be in conformity. And it can only happen. How many of you have ever God tell you you're wrong in your thinking? I preached a message, or working on a message not long ago, hunting a Goliath and found a little fox. Everybody looking for the biggies, amen. Need to look at some of the little ones every once in a while. Our warfare is against the little fellows, not the giants. Now, as a result of it, he looks around and he says, I want to follow you. I will take up my cross. And that causes you to what? Deny yourself. That brings flesh in agreement. It brings your spirit into harmony and your soul into conformity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true place of worship is taking up your cross every day and following Him. And I guarantee you, when that cross takes and mortifies you, you will live in a way God wants you to live as never before. Can you say praise the Lord, somebody? We've been quiet this morning. Hallelujah. So if I want to be a complete Christian, you see Christians that their spirit's good, but bless your hearts, you can't drag them to church for nothing in the world. I mean, you know, I have to go by their testimony of whether they're saved or not. Can you say amen? So it's not up to me to decide that, but it's I'm the one that's got to decide and whether to preach them, and God decides and sees where you're lacking. We see some people that they got their flesh, they can dress it right, but all their holiness and everything else, but their spirit is a mess. Amen? Why is that? They went through the same blood that you and I went through. The same Savior. Then what was the difference in the change here? Sister Teresa would say, constant continuity of the Word of God, the house of God, and the Spirit of God will get you through to the end. I agree with that. But how many of you know God gave you a free will? You can have the greatest vision in the world of accomplishments you want to do for God, and it'll never amount to a thing when you're not willing to try it, to do it. Amen. So it's a matter now. I don't know about you, but I'm not happy where I'm at spiritually, but I'm not where I'm going to be either. Can you say praise the Lord? So why am I going to do this? Because I live in this old world and it doesn't exactly like me. It insists that I be like it, and I determine not to be. And so we're in a constant warfare back and forth. And just about the time I think I got some victory, it'll rise its head up again, the old flesh will, and do something stupid that I had never done before. Any of y'all ever give somebody a piece of your mind? Everybody wish you hadn't done it. Well, what spirit was you in when you done it? All of a sudden, your spirit is not in conformity with Jesus. Hello, can you say amen? So that's an inadequacy. So what is our answer? Take up your cross. Yes, I want to give Him a piece of my mind. But if I do, I got to go back and ask Him to forgive me. Ask God to forgive me. And cry a bucket full of tears at the altar. Hello. To get back where I was with God. Because I didn't take up my cross. Because that cross laying right there said, that's not right. That's not Jesus. And once you do it in that cross, you have a tendency to hold your tongue a whole lot more than you used to. Can you say praise the Lord, somebody? So what I'm saying to you is that when Jesus comes, He is coming after a bride that is completely pure. And He's going to take us out of here by the grace of God. Can you say praise the Lord, somebody? Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.